Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IIFL Finance Limited Q3 FY26 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Sharma from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve, and good evening to everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, I welcome you all to IIFL Finance Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. We have along with us Mr. Sanjay Sharma, Managing Director, Mr. Neeraj Kaushik, Deputy CFO, Mr. Shobhan Satyaprakash, Interim CFO, and Mr. Gaurav Seth, Head Investor Relations. We are thankful to the management for allowing us this opportunity, and I would now like to hand it over to Mr. Sanjay, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vaibhav, and good evening to everyone. So welcome to our maiden earnings call for quarter three of financial year 26. And let me just mention that IIFL Finance is a lender to the unorganized micro-scale businesses, and these could be businesses in manufacturing, into trading, dairy, or service sectors. Our performance in quarter three, and the numbers have been shared with you, it clearly demonstrates the robustness of our business model and indeed the robustness of our customer segment. We provide loans for business needs as opposed to consumption lending, and this segment has performed with a better credit resilience than the typical consumption lending segment. As this is the first earnings call, please allow me to share some context to our business model before I touch upon the financial and key operational metrics. It's a different or differentiated lending model, and I think it's important to understand some of the nuances around the model. The borrowing need of over 67 million unorganized micro-scale enterprises across India are primarily unaddressed by the banks or NBFCs, and primarily the reason is that it's difficult to underwrite this segment, and their need is a very small business loan. IIFL Finance has targeted exactly this customer segment, and it is transforming these businesses at the micro scale by building a scale lending model for itself. This segment of micro scale businesses is a real employment generating engine in our economy, and it contributes as much as 90% of the non-agri employment. Hence, addressing their business needs is important, and I have taken up exactly this challenge. So clearly, this is a need of the country and of the businesses in Bharat, and this is what we suggest. As you can see in slide 15, you can get a sense of where does our customer lie. I think the primary thing to learn is that if you look at our customers, they come from a segment number three, which is the unorganized micro businesses, which are into trading, into manufacturing, dairy, and service. Whereas when you look at micro LAP or MFI, they have customers coming in from marginal wage earners also, from marginal self-employed people like plumbers, carpenters, etc. So I think this is where our targeting of customer is different. We look at our customer primarily from a lens of whether they run a business and they generate employment. So in a way, you could say that our customer is someone who owns a business. It could be manufacturing, trading, or service enterprise or dairy. He is not a self-employed worker like a plumber, carpenter, or not a salaried employee. This is an unorganized space, which means that they typically don't have the financial records like GST returns or indeed income tax returns or bank statements that show business transactions, and hence is usually new to formal business loans. The third thing about our segment is that our customer is not linked to the organized industry supply chain, and hence effects like oil price change or tariffs, etc., do not affect this segment, and therefore this asset class is quite insulated from many of the effects of the organized industry. So this is what makes it a very interesting asset class to look at because it behaves very differently from what a normal asset classes in the organized industry are. On the next slide, slide 16, you will see that we have a comprehensive product offering to the micro-scale MSMEs. What we mean here is that if the requirement is small, we can give them a small application loan, and if the requirement is larger, we can give them a property-based loan. 22% of the portfolio is secured by property-based loans, of which 21% comes from mortgage loans, which are the typical LAP-like loans, given against cell phone residential property or cell phone commercial property. The remaining small percent of 1.6% are several loans given against lots and part of the primary titles. The remaining 75.5% of our portfolio is secured by business assets like machine, inventory, finished goods, etc., which are the hypothecation to us. And within this hypothecation loan, 40% of loans have hypothecation of assets where the values of these assets are being assessed by us to be more than 120% of our loan value. These we call as secured hypothecation loans, and the balance 37.5% of the portfolio is again hypothecation of working assets, but where the value of the hypothecation assets can only provide part cover for the loan amount. These we classify as unsecured hypothecation loans. The important thing is that all these loans are business loans. They are not of consumption in nature. And even the hypothecation unsecured loans that we classify are actually partly secured against business assets. In the slide 17, you can see that we have a very well diversified book, which is spread across 18 states and 3 union territories, and the number of branches you can see, whether it is north, south, west or east, they are almost well balanced. We have a granular book of 5.23 lakh loans as of December 2025, and even the zones, when you look at north, south, east, west, the AUM is well spread. This has a huge advantage because in times of difficulty, our portfolio does not see very acute challenges. Also, when we want to grow, we don't have to rely on any one area, one state or one zone to grow. And that opens up, firstly, a huge opportunity for growth, and second, a very strong opportunity for diversifying our risk. Similarly, on the industry also, we continue to have a balanced look at industry and diversify industry. You can see that between manufacturing, dairy, service and trading, we are well balanced and no segment overpowers others. Trading is a very large segment because it contains grocery stores, it contains different types of trading clusters. So I think that's the reason that is at 50%. The business that we have has been built from ground up, because there is no prior model to work with, and that has given us an opportunity to design the businesses, the teams, to the way that they can be optimized to the target segment. And this helps us address this business opportunity very effectively. Our base for the business is built around three simple things. First is to make sure that the sales origination is of good quality. Second is to make our underwriting effective. And the third is to have a strong ability to collect. Now you may say that there's nothing new in that, and often in life, things are nothing new, and it is how you execute and how you plan it, which is the differentiator, which is what we believe in. Picking up on origination quality, we have a total in-house sales team for all our HL as well as mortgage loans. This is important because we do not want to use a DSA or a third-party sourcer to source for us, since we have the strong capability to source in-house, and this ensures that the quality of what we source is of very good standard. Also, beyond this, we have maker and checker at multiple steps of the sales funnel. Our diversified presence in 18 states and 3 million territories also further adds to the diversification of what we source, and we are not dependent on few states, as I mentioned. It is also not concentrated in any industrial sector. On the underwriting, we use a cluster-based underwriting, which I think is partly covered in slide 33. This is an innovation that we have done in the segment, where we use a deep understanding of the various categories of business, like let's say our understanding of the shoe manufacturing industry or the grocery industry or the cloth trading industry. And our insights from these industries helps us estimate sales and the net income of the business owner using some observed alternate data points like the number of workers they employ, the level of inventory that we can see, or the capacity of machinery that they use, etc. This cluster-based underwriting is fully automated. All the rules are there in our core system, and this has enabled us to underwrite well and see our portfolio go across multiple challenges like COVID, demonetization, overlending, and not show too much of a volatility in credit costs. The third piece that I mentioned, which is collection. Then again, in slide 34, we have shown some indicative aspects of collection. Our collection is based on the philosophy that we need to be present on the field to collect, and hence a digital model with over 500 branches is what we use. So net-net in our target segment of unorganized micro-scale businesses, we are the leading pan-India provider. Our competitors, as they arise in future, will always face a challenge or a moat that we have built around the business. One is the underwriting method, because underwriting this customer it cannot be done through traditional means of reviewing documents. The second is that it needs a branch presence, because this segment of customer needs to see someone face to face. And third is that the unit cost, since the loan size is typically 1 to 2 lakhs, the low unit price makes it difficult for people to generate profits without adequate amount of technology deployed on the in these processes. Let's move on to the key financial and operational metrics that are given in the earnings call presentation. I would like to draw your attention to the following. First item is growth. The company operates in a market where there is very limited or almost no supply of business loans to the segment of customers that we target, which is the unorganized micro-scale businesses. Hence, it's not surprising that we've always found our disbursements to stay in a healthy growth range. Even in this year, in the quarter 3, our disbursement grew by 35% year-on-year and stood at 1,310 crores in quarter 3, with an addition of 41,015 new borrowers. In our business, the last quarter has always produced significant higher disbursements, and this is something that we witnessed, already starting to witness this momentum in January and February months that have gone by. Our AUM, which grew by 23.5% year-on-year and 5.5% quarter-on-quarter, with this expected increased disbursement in the coming quarter, we are on the trajectory to achieve our guidance of 29 to 30% growth in AUM for the full financial year 26. Our net worth of 1,773 crores as of December 25 has been further augmented, as you know, through our primary raise of 710 crores in the IPO. This net worth will be the catalyst and will enable us to continue with this robust growth trajectory. The second area that I want to draw your attention to is the improvement in credit quality. This has become extremely important in the backdrop of how the business has done in the last year. Collection efficiencies, we believe, are a leading indicator for the health of the lending portfolio, because what we collect today is ultimately going to see how our gross NPAs will look like in future. The collection efficiency, therefore, is what I want to start with. The collection efficiency for our non-OD bucket was 99.3% in December and has further improved to 99.4% in February. These are very healthy numbers which typically are a signal of a good year ahead. Similarly, the bucket 1 collection efficiency also has been improving, and during the year, this collection efficiency for the 1 plus bucket went up from 42.8% in April to 58% in December 25, and in February 26, it is actually at 60%. So the trade cost of a business obviously looks like, because of the good collection efficiency, will be down, but actually historically also, the trade cost for our business has been reducing for the last 4 quarters consistently. And in quarter 3, it was down to only 83 crores or 4.69% of the area. This lowering, or the trend of lowering of trade costs, is expected to continue into quarter 4, and this is visible to us even in the numbers that we have seen in January and February months already. So, from a trade quality, we are targeting to start the new financial year at a normal level of trade cost for our business segment. So, we'll exit this financial year with a fairly normalized book from a trade perspective also. And the third area is profitability. Although the profit in this financial year has been weighed down by 2 things. One is that we set up the mortgage loan scheme, and in the last 1.5 years we have added almost more than 1400 people to the mortgage team. So this is an additional cost that is bringing down or bringing up the operating expense ratio. But this team will ultimately see the areas of mortgage business build up, and the cost will automatically come down. This is a simple business math that will play out. The second reason for profit being depressed is the higher credit cost. It's no denying that the credit cost, which we would have liked to see in the 3.5 to 3.75 range, has been higher than that in this year, and that has also brought the profitability down. But going forward, we should see a robust improvement in profits from the coming quarter, as the effect of both these factors are lower. First of all, the mortgage AUM has been growing at a good clip. We are already at 22.5% of the portfolio is with property. So that will help in defraying the cost of the new mortgage schemes. And second is that our credit costs have been dropping consistently, and now we will see the effect in the profits. The total income for the quarter 3 was 449 crores, which is 21.3% growth over year on year and 5% growth quarter on quarter. The NIMs have remained at 14.21% in quarter 3 despite the increasing mix of mortgage loans. Cost of borrowing has reduced to 10.96, and the incremental cost of borrowing in quarter 3 was 10.31%. This trend will continue to help us improving the NIMs, and even though with the increasing mix of mortgage, the NIMs tend to become lower, this is a effect that will help us stabilize the NIMs at a good level. The profit after tax for quarter 3 was 43 crores, which has grown 87% year on year, and primarily it is because the quarter 3 of last year was a depressed quarter. But quarter on quarter, from last quarter, we have grown almost 23.4%. So this shows how rapidly the profit after tax is beginning to grow, and this acceleration is going to further see that. This profit that I mentioned of 43 crores actually has also absorbed a one-time impact of 1.7 crores, which came about because of change in the labor law regulation. Now let me go a step deeper by highlighting a few efficiency drivers in our business. I would like to draw attention to slide number 18. The first efficiency driver is technology, and all our processes, be they origination, underwriting, repayments, collection, are optimally automated by use of technology as well as use of data science models and visualization dashboards. These are important tools to help optimize the business and maintain strong monitoring day in, day out. 100% of our loan origination is paperless. 32% of our underwriting at present is done using AI ML model has been in play for the last more than 6 years. 68% of our underwriting still happens to the cluster-based underwriting method that we had innovated in 2014. Repayments are primarily non-cash. You can see that 96.8% of our customers are registered on ACH and 84.1% of our collection happens through various digital modes. So clearly a business which is not based on cash collection. Technology also plays an important role in our collection capability by providing machine learning models like the bounce forecasting model, a collection likelihood score model, and we have an in-house data science team mentored by our principals or our investors, Google Capital, which develop various machine learning and data science models for us in-house. The second lever for efficiency is the use of branch network. Now, there is often a false feeling that growth in branch-led businesses are linearly related to branch growth. And this is a figure which shows that it need not be so. If we look at the December year-on-year growth, the pie chart that is shown there, 60% of our growth was contributed by enlarging the fresh AUM per branch itself. 39% of the growth came from repeat loans and only 1% came from the new branches that have been added, in the last 1 year. So clearly it shows that we can derive a lot of growth through our branch setup itself, and I think there is a graph, a bar graph on the side which tells you that FY24, FY25, FY26, you see that the branch, new branches contribute typically between 1 to 7% of the growth. This can also be supported by the fact that you see that branches which are up to 2 years old typically have a AUM of 4.8 crores. Branches from 2 to 4 years accrue a AUM of 8.8 crores. And 4 plus years of branches that we have 14.5 crores of AUM. So this is the natural growth, and therefore we believe that we don't have to add too many new branches. This financial year, FY26, we opened 44 new centers, which added to our 527 branches, so it's less than 9% of more branches will open at the start of the year, and this will help us in the growth. The third area is on repeat. This, without any doubt, is a very important aspect of our business, because we have a customer segment that is has a need that we address comprehensively, and it's very useful to retain him and to improve the lifetime customer value. We use data science models to filter the customers for offering repeat loans so that we pick up the best customers, you can a better pricing. And moreover, the repeat loans use the telecalling channel instead of the field team to drive the repeat business. And typically, a telecaller can generate almost 1.8 crores of repeat loans disbursement in a single month. So it's a very efficient way of getting repeat loans and extending the customer's stay with us. The repeat loan portfolio also enables that our customer foreclosure rate remains low. We have a very low foreclosure of 3.33% if you look at our first 9 months of FY26. So clearly this is one engine that adds to the efficiency and also helps us improve the quality of our portfolio. On slide 21 is the mortgage business, and about slightly over 3 years, we decided that we needed to have a better presence in the mortgage business, and we started focusing on mortgage businesses, mortgage loans, after the COVID pandemic, with the aim of increasing our loan tenor and to reduce the very fast runoff rate that we see in hypothecation loans. Our primary ML team is there in 180 branches, and besides that, the normal branches also generate ML loans in addition to their certification loan projects. Our ML loan has been very robust, and the ML portfolio as on December 2025 was about 1,350 crores, constituting 21% of our overall portfolio. In conclusion, I would say that IIF Finance is in a unique position to address a large target segment of underserved micro MSMEs. Our technology and data science backbone, coupled with the branch-based sourcing and servicing, is optimally suited to address this customer segment. The use of prudent underwriting using cluster methodology and machine learning models, supplemented by a strong collection capability on the field as well as digitally, provides an additional stability even in phases like demonetization, COVID pandemic, overlending, etc. Our experienced team of leaders from leading banks, NBFCs, and top-tier institutes is committed to a vision to transform the landscape of micro-scale businesses. They have been with us many years, and they bring leadership and stability to the team. Our recent investments in mortgage loans are planned to provide us a lift in growth as well as reduction in operating expense ratio. And in the backdrop of the falling credit cost for the last four quarters, we feel confident to provide you or share with you a three-year vision where we are targeting to get to a consistent growth of about 30%, a credit cost to be kept in the range of 3.25 to 3.75, profits to be maintained between 7 and 7.5 and ROA between 4 and 4.5 with adequate leverage. This is how we would target to achieve in a 3-year timeline. Thank you once again. And with this, I will hand over the call to back to Vaibhav.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Shaleen Kapadia with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, I have a couple of questions. First of all, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. So, sir, my first question is on AUM and basically its mix. So, with mortgage loans already at 20% of AUM, what is the target AUM mix that we will achieve as we aim 30% CAGR over the next 3 years? And secondly, sir, looking at our collection efficiency and credit cost, our asset quality is clearly on an improving trend, but it still remains elevated versus our pre-crisis period. So by when do you expect this to settle down, sir, and what is your credit cost guidance for FY27?
Hi, this is Sohan. I'll pick up the first question with respect to growth. So we believe that the mortgage share of the overall portfolio should increase to about 30%, which is the ideal mix. So the overall portfolio over the next 3 years is going to be 30% of mortgage and 70% of hypothecation loans to achieve the 30% CAGR that we are talking about. As you rightly mentioned, the collection efficiencies are improving and the credit cost has been falling for the last four quarters. That has resulted in the PAR rate also falling for the last two quarters. And for the month of February, the PAR 90 and the NPLs have also come down. So we believe that quarter four, we should be at a quarterly annualized credit cost of less than 4%, which is a good place to start the next financial year and come down to a level
Our comfort range with respect to credit cost typically is in the 3.5% range, with about cost plus 0.25% to minus 0.25%. So that is the range. And we believe with some 4% credit cost, that would be a good position to achieve that in the next financial year.
Sir, just one follow-up on the mortgage loan piece. So with ML share increasing in the mix, and also our incremental cost of borrowing has been on a declining trend, so a lot of moving parts in the NIMs basically. So where do we expect our NIMs to settle in FY27?
With respect to guidance, exact guidance with respect to FY27, we will provide it in the next earnings call. However, I can give you some picture with respect to the NIM levels. While the overall portfolio yield is coming down because of the increase of mortgage in the portfolio, but if you look at this quarter compared to the previous quarter, with the increase of mortgage share also, the yields have improved. And that is primarily because right now there is an elevated level of reversals because of the higher delinquency and flows into NPA that was happening. Our estimate is that roughly around 25 bits to 40 bits higher reversals have been happening over the last couple of quarters, which should also improve as the delinquency numbers normalize. So there is going to be an offset of reduction in yield because of mortgage, however some improvement because of the lower reversal. With respect to exact guidance on the NIM and numbers for FY27, we would like to give it in the next earnings call after the year end.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. That was helpful.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viral Shah with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So congrats and thanks for the opportunity. I had two questions with regards to Bihar. So I can see in your PPT you have 8.5% branches in Bihar, but I think your AUM concentration is probably in the corridor of 14-15%, right? First of all, just that clarification.
Yeah, so the AUM concentration for Bihar is 15.5% in the total mix.
Got it. And secondly, now incrementally, what is your reading of the current draft 75 bill which is there? And essentially, some technicalities of it. But what is it you are basically gathering on the ground? Is there any, chatter around it? And if at all it has to come into and become a law, what implications do you anticipate?
Yeah, I think, first of all, when you look at the Bihar collection efficiency and the problem that the government has taken note of has been running for the last 4 years. So while the action has come now, the effect has been that MFIs have been on the ground and there have been challenges around that. However, we have found that our customers, because it's not a consumption loan that is given, but it's a loan given to a trader or a manufacturing unit there, they have maintained very good collection or repayment ratios. And that's why collection in Bihar, you can see, is almost for the month between 99.2 and 99.4% for the non-voting, and even the bucket one is in the 40% sort of range. So one is that despite that environment, we haven't seen a challenge around our collection. The second is that if the regulation has the similar layout as we saw in Karnataka or Tamil Nadu, then it will have very minimal effect on non-MFI NBFCs. So NBFCs, for example, when we were in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, while we heard that there was a little bit of challenge around collection, but neither did we face problems with the regulatory authorities or with the police force there. So I think we believe that that could be the way Bihar also plays out. And I think over the next quarter, we'll probably get a better picture. But my sense is that this will play out. Even the collection efficiency of MFIs are improving, so gradually it will tie out.
Got it. And just one more follow-up over here. When I look at the bucket one collection efficiency, right, I think you have given a great disclosure state-wise as well as the overall numbers. Just wanted to get a sense of, and again, I'm not talking about the direction of it. Of course, it's improving. But compared to most of the other states, why is it that the bucket one collection efficiency in Bihar seems to be lower at 40% when I compare it with others? And is this a function of, say, the inherently the customers in that geography?
Yeah. See, I think it's a good sign. See, in Bihar, we first of all didn't have a collection team, and I think last year we instituted a collection team, which does the collection of the first bucket. And there's a new person who has just taken over, I think, about 4 months back. So one is that that team is new, and that's the reason you will see that while bucket one was being collected by the loan officers themselves, now the team will come in, which is our normal process of collecting. So that is one big reason. The second is when you collect 99.4 or over, then the possibility of collecting in bucket one becomes difficult because only very few customers who are the tough customers go into bucket one. So I think that's the other reason that the collection efficiency is low. But primarily it is the team that has been put in place, and I think you will see this number increasing.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chinmay Nema with Precision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir, Chinmay.
Sir, just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Could you share the PAR 30 and the PAR 90 number for both the last book and the application book at the end of the quarter?
Just give us a second. Yeah, so with respect to the PAR 90 of the adjudication loan, it was 5.65%, and the PAR 30 for the adjudication, sorry, 5.95%, and the PAR 30 for the adjudication loan book stood at 7.54%. With respect to the mortgage portfolio, the PAR 30 was 3.5% and the PAR 90 was 2.69%. Typically, our GNPA levels are marginally lower than our PAR 90 levels. So, GNPA would be adjusted accordingly.
Got it. And could you also share the same numbers for the end of the last quarter? Hello.
That numbers I will not have readily available. I'll connect separately and I can share the data.
Sure, sir. And sir, secondly, just wanted to understand the 9 months. The growth has primarily been in the last book. Going forward, when can we see a higher growth rate in the application book? Or basically, when do you see stress subsiding in that book?
So with respect to the hypothecation book, obviously, because it is 80% of the portfolio, the improvement at the overall portfolio level is being driven by the improvement in the hypothecation loan book. So both credit cost and delinquency levels of the hypothecation loan has been coming down, and that is where the overall portfolio is showing signs of recovery. We had tightened the credit policies in the last financial year and continued with the same policies during the course of this financial year also, which has resulted in the approval rate of the adjudication loan coming down at least by about 10-15% during different phases of the last 18 months or so. As we enter quarter 4, which is typically a higher business quarter across years, we are seeing momentum build up even in the adjudication loan where productivity levels have started inching up. So we believe the hypothecation loan kicker with respect to growth should be normalized in the next financial year. Mortgage, because we have already made a large investment with respect to manpower in the mortgage, where across various channels the number of people deployed has been about 1300 to 1400 odd people, and the book is only about 1400 crores. So mortgage is going to grow at a fast pace. However, the hypothecation recovery, at least from the quarter four numbers of January and February, clearly show picking up of the productivity, and we should continue in the next financial year also. And in the next financial year, we are hopeful that hypothecation loan would contribute significantly to the growth of the next financial year.
Got it, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Sameer Bhise with Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the quarter. So I just wanted to understand if you could elaborate how do you monitor the end use of the loans? And some thoughts around that, just on how the model is built. And then I have a couple of more questions after this.
Sure. I think that's an excellent question. The basic premise of a business is built on the fact that we want to lend for business use. And that's why any loan that is given, first of all, because we sold the loan ourselves, the loan officer goes and meets the customer, and so does the credit officer on the field who meets the customer to see that there is genuinely a business running and it fits into our criteria of credit manufacturing, trading, etc. Second is that after the loan is given, and the loan also given is based on the business cash flows assessment, so it is appropriate to that business, and that's why our hypothecation loan typically stay in the 1 lakh to 2 lakh rupees, because that is typically what a person who has a 30 lakh to a 1 crore turnover annually will win. So then we go and validate that end use within 45 days. A vigilance team goes and visits the customer to see whether if someone has said that they'll buy asset and the asset has been purchased, or otherwise inventory should look like it has been used and the money has been used. That's one. Second is, one of the reasons, again, why we don't want mortgage to become more than 30% or more than, or maybe a 60-70% of our book, is because we believe that a mortgage loan for business requirements is important. So we don't want to give a mortgage loan for a consumption requirement. And often in businesses, we don't find enough need to give someone a 10 lakh or a 15 lakh rupee loan, given the size of the business. So these are the parameters of end use that play out in our business.
Okay, and if one were to look at recent competition trends, if you could highlight if things have been materially increasing on the mortgage side.
Sorry, can you come again with that question? Sorry, lost you in between.
Can you highlight some trends on how competition has been in the mortgage loan product?
On the mortgage loan product? See,
yes.
I think on the mortgage loan product, I think there are many providers in the market. And honestly speaking, there is a fair amount of supply in the market for micro LAP product. In our case, because we are targeting primarily businesses, we don't see a direct face-to-face competition in most of the times, but there is competition in the market. Sometimes we do also come across a competitor trying to also make an offer. So definitely compared to a hypothecation loan, where there is almost no alternate supplier of this product, in mortgage you do have that supply. We already grown to 22% of the property-based lending, and we are saying that we want to grow to 30%. So it's not as if we have a very large way to go, a large growth to really achieve. So I think we are fine. We have our interest rates are in line with what the others provide, comparable to the market. And I think many of our customers are customers who have taken this as a first loan for the mortgage, and I believe that when we look at their transaction with our services, that transaction rate is high. We haven't seen foreclosures. If I mentioned that we are at a very low foreclosure rate of 3.3%.
You mentioned that Q4, the first 2 months have been very strong. Try to conclude that F26 and 27, you could grow in the range of 30% or more. Is that a fair conclusion?
I would think that this is what we should target. And this is not beyond us to grow at that pace. We have shown better growth than this in the historic years.
Okay, okay. And credit cost, Sovan, I think, highlighted more trajectory in the coming quarter onwards. Potentially then ROA.
Sameer, we can't hear you.
I don't know. Yes, sir. Sameer has been disconnected.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and one. Yes, sir. Sameer is connected again. Sameer, you can go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to kind of look at the credit cost if they were to decline below 4% as we enter into FY27. Is 4% ROA for next year a reasonable expectation?
Obviously, we would not want to comment on the exact numbers, but how we look at the current position and the coming year is that trade cost is at an elevated level at this point of time. Our normal level, at least 1% higher trade cost is what we have at this point of time. Similarly, with respect to OPEX also, we do believe the operating leverage is going to kick in as the acquisition loan productivities again go back, which we are seeing in this quarter. So, there are these two big levers with respect to profitability, where the credit cost should come down and the operational expense also should come down, giving us big headroom with respect to our profitability level.
Yeah, I would probably say very likely, because if you go to slide 28, where we have shown the ROA tree, our quarter 3 FY27, we delivered a ROA of 2.95%, even with a credit cost of 4.6%. So we said if the credit cost goes below 4, then we have at least 65 basis points improvement from there. Operating expense, because it is right now defraying the mortgage team's cost, this will gradually drop. And I think that you will see almost close to 67 basis points shaved off from there itself. So that makes it 1.5%. That itself brings you into that range that you're talking about. Over and above that, the finance cost is dropping because, first of all, we have more equity. The second is the cost of incremental borrowing is at 10.3%, which I mentioned. So clearly there is some room that is being created in the finance cost also. So I think net, I would say yes, that's the sort of number we should look at.
Great, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions at this time, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Sir, sorry to interrupt. There's a question. It's from the line of Rohitash Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, hello sir, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, as we are targeting to grow at more than 30% growth rate, are we looking to go at more as a particular region of Pan India? We are trying to grow at 30% plus growth rate.
See, Rakesh, on growth, it will be across the country. So we don't find any particular geography that we would avoid, or where we find that we have challenges around delinquency or growth. And this is quite apparent if you look at our PAR, our collection efficiency numbers for non-OD buckets. You find that when you look at specific states, when you look at the rest of India, it is very, very similar. So the answer to that is no, there is no specific state we would avoid. Yes, there are certain states which show better promise and better productivity, which we focus on. And as Rohan had mentioned, that some of this growth will happen obviously from mortgage business, but I think a lot of it will happen from an organic growth of the application loan. And today our approval rate, which used to be 55%, are only 42-43%. So clearly, as we start opening up and coming back to the 55% approval rate, automatically the growth of 8 or 9, 10% will get less. So that is what the coming year will see.
And sir, are we impacted by new Bihar ordinance regarding microfinance?
Because this was a question asked, but let me just repeat. First of all, historically, there has been this stress among the MFI customers in Bihar. We've been hearing it for the last 4 years, and yet we have found that the segment of customers is a business owner like a trader or a manufacturing owner. They have continued to maintain very good repayment rates, and you can see in our Bihar portfolio that the collection efficiency at the non-OD customer is 99.3-99.4%. So clearly we have not seen that stress translate to our customers. Second is that we have seen similar things play out in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. This did not really impact our customer or our customer collection to the effect that it would get seriously noticed. So we believe that Bihar may also follow a similar trend for us.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Rohit, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir. There are no further questions. You can go ahead with your closing comments.
Thank you, Eva. And thank you, everyone, for being on this call and listening to our story. We believe that we are at the start of an important journey, and we need to build our ability to build trust and build our business without any surprises. And that's what the team is committed to. And it's a very transparent organization. And I think as years go by, we'll hopefully demonstrate that in due measure to the market. Thank you very much for your support and assurance. And have a great, great day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.